Alright, time for a debatephysics.com video presentation. Well, a video intended to be part of a sequence of videos that debate a subject, if I can get somebody else to make the counter arguments. Alright, so the theory of relativity is connected to an idea of equivalence. And that, and then you could take Einstein's equivalence versus some other view of equivalence, which you could go back to, say, Newton, who would make an equivalence between something like forces that affect things and material momentum, that is, material things that have motion, and was sort of making an equivalence between the power of the force and the power of the object that is, in a way, possessed by the force. It contains some kind of force. So there's sort of an argument about whether there is an absolute universe, three dimensions. You can just move in the three dimensions at this fastest speed of force. So that's a whole nother video. That there really is just force in the universe, and then you just give the force to matter. And that's the simple explanation for what matter is. It's just a container for force. It's a container for a direction, a bit of momentum. And you can't go both ways at the same time, so you can understand that force could only be in this direction, or maybe that direction, or that direction, but it can't be in both directions at the same time, so you can only collect it. Let's say you had a bucket that pointed in all three dimensions, you know, forward, back, either way. There was one bucket. There's another bucket going up and down. It could either look up, or it could look down, or left and right. But you can only have an imbalance in what you've collected in one of the three dimensions, the six dimensions, the six subdimensions. But anyway, see, we're already getting far of a field. But it all connects, and so you sort of have to understand that it's about force. That's doing all the moving. It's about collection. It's about time. It's about these specific things. So, observing the universe, I'll just scroll down. See, so there's different subjects here. So I will add this specific argument, but it's going to end up being connected to whether light's bent by gravity, and it'll be connected to the idea that it should maybe be called the speed of force and not the speed of light. That calling it the speed of light makes it sound like this elemental function isn't elemental, when, no, the speed thing is elemental. Gravity does it, magnetism does it, everything does it. Everything we call a force interaction is going the same speed. So it's really not just the speed of light. It's the speed of everything in this minute form we call a force. All right, so relativity is basically making an argument that the universe is illusionary, that there isn't just this solid idea of three dimensions of space, and that things aren't absolutely moving from from an idea of zero velocity, you're not moving at all, to you're moving some maximum amount, which be the speed of light in this direction, and the speed of light in this direction, and the speed of light, say, going in or going out. And that would be something's maximum capacity to move in the universe. And so that creates its own paradoxes of the idea that something could actually move faster than the speed of light because it's going in two directions at the same time at the speed of light. But frankly, matter can't do that anyway, so it doesn't matter. Electrons might be able to do it, but nothing else. Anyway, see, so I'm already off the subject. So the real point is the equivalency principle is basically arguing something sort of sensible, that it's all the same stuff, but it's doing it in this context that nothing has an actual velocity. And so I would make the counter argument that it's not just relative, and you can sort of know it's not relative because two events don't happen the same. Two events, if relativity were true, should look the same. So if this is going 10 miles an hour and it weighs twice as much,
or this is going 10 miles an hour
and it weighs half as much. Right, so you have the same visual circumstance. This thing's moving into this thing. This thing's moving into this thing. They look the same. It shouldn't make any difference. I guess I had should have had them going the opposite way. You can't tell the difference between whether it's going this way. I should have drawn this the same way. All these little details. See, this I'll clean up eventually. Yeah, so... So the idea is this little thing is moving the 10 miles an hour. Okay, so you have these two circumstances, and you can't tell the difference, theoretically. You can't tell whether this is going 10 miles an hour and that's going, or that's going 10 miles an hour. Of course, two of them could be going 5 miles an hour each, okay, and it could look like 10 miles an hour, 5 miles an hour towards, 5 miles an hour towards. And I will clearly argue that that's not going to come out the same way either. Okay, so none of these things, these interactions, will actually turn out with the same result. And so therefore, you can know there can't be equivalent. That there is no, I'm just being fooled by some relative frame. Some frame is dictating what the reality is. Because the outcomes won't be the same. So if the heavy object hits the light object leaves in that direction, of course, and the heavy object keeps going in this direction. So the light object ended up going, say, 9.8 miles per hour, and contains 9.8 times 1/2 the mass. So if this was a mass of 1, that makes it kind of easy, then it's 9.8. And this one, that started off with 10 times 2 mass, so that would be 20. Okay, and so you have the other half of the energy left over in the 10 object, but it's twice as massive, so it has to be going much slower. So it ends up going whatever 6 point something or other, and it all equals 20 momentums in the end. So you conserve the momentum, both objects are moving in the same direction. Now if the little thing is actually doing the moving, then you're going to have a completely different interaction, and the little thing is going to bounce off and the big thing is going to go forward. And again, you're just going to sort of 50-50 the energy. So in this form, you have less to start with, right? You only have, see, if this is doing the moving, there's only 10 momentums in the equation, where if the big thing is going 10 miles an hour, you have 20 momentums. So in this case, you're only going to be conserving 10. And so you're going to get a reflection, and you're going to get some motion. So this will be a tiny velocity, 0.25 of the velocity, and this will reflect still containing 75% of the original velocity it had, because it's not going to give much to this, because it's not really going to have time to push it, because it's going faster than this thing can go. So this thing's going to go off at 2.5 of the 10, 25% of the velocity in this direction. And this is going to be going in the opposite direction. Clearly not the same outcome. So clearly one of them has to be absolutely different than the other one. They can't be just some sort of appearance thing. It's not just about things passing, trains passing each other. It's a fact that you can absolutely know if the trains are way differently and they're going to collide. You can know that one of them was actually moving and one of them wasn't. And then you could also know that if they both were moving, you'd also have a different outcome. So the outcomes aren't the same. And that gives you every indication that they're not the same. It's not the same. It's not a relative condition. It's an absolute condition that things actually are different. Okay. This moving 10 miles an hour is different than this moving 10 miles an hour. It creates a different amount of capacity to cause movement in the universe, because it carries a different amount of energy. And the fact is the energy is something it possesses. It's inside the object. The object has the energy. It's not just some perceptual thing. There's an absoluteness to it. There's a fact to it. So Galilean relativity would agree with what I'm saying, but Einsteinian relativity changes. It again, creates a kind of a fake universe where nothing, you know, there's no, you know, there's no reality, because you're not dealing with the real dimensional universe that exists, and the fact that the space is real, the distance between objects is real distance. It has to be changed through time. It takes time for things to move in the space, and it all can be accounted for, but it really is absolute. Things really are standing still in the universe, and there's some things, you know, and the fact is that we just can't see it. I mean, every millisecond our absolute velocity changes. We change direction all the time, constantly. Little bits inside of us, the net force affecting us is changing, and so we are moving a path through absolute space. If it was a fish tank, you know, we're a fish and we're going to move from point A to point B, but we're going to move because currents push us in different directions, and we're going to wobble through that space, but we're going to go an absolute path through an absolute amount of space. And I would argue that this sort of, the fact that there is no equivalence between these outcomes proves that it isn't just relative. There's an absolute condition that underlies the appearance of relativity. The fact that we can't know without testing which thing is actually moving. But it doesn't mean the truth isn't there to be seen. It just means we can't see it easily, I guess would be the fundamental argument. So this is much like the Heisenberg principle kind of argument. Yeah, you can make the argument that, you know, electrons don't know where they're going because we can't see them go. We can't see them go from point A to point B, so we can't know for sure they do it in some straight line. So we can make up a story that they don't, but I can't disprove that story because I can't show you the videotape of them going straight. But in this case, okay, I can demonstrate that the relativity idea, that it's all relative, doesn't work in the sense that the practical end product of it, if you run the model will show you that it can't be just relative, because the outcomes won't be the same for circumstances you thought were the same. So two passing stagecoaches, one of them eventually will hit a brick wall and one of them won't. And that's going to be the giveaway, okay, that one of them was doing the moving. All right. Yeah, that's probably good enough for the purpose of this video, is just to initiate one segment of argument. Now, again, the argument goes further back in the sense that you can have an argument about the existence of absolute space, and then you can have an argument about the nature of momentum, whether momentum is something the matter has as a elemental function, or whether it's just the force pushing it. You know, so the only elemental thing moving is bits of momentum, force, and the matter's just pushed around in that environment. And I would argue that fits. So these are all puzzle pieces. I'm just saying I can explain to you all the puzzle pieces around this relativity argument that make it unsustainable. And if you get rid of it, all these other pieces make sense. If you keep it, none of the other pieces make sense. It's something like the argument about even the nature of motion. And you can get into the argument about the nature of gravity, in the sense that we have a mass that gives us a weight, but we only have weight when we're in gravity. If I put you in space where you're not near any other matter to make you move, so you're not moving this way or that 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 way, and I try to find your mass with a scale, I can't find it. I can't detect your mass because it's not moving. And the only way we can detect mass is to put it in a field of energy and then say, how much does it weigh? So it's like the sail has a size, but I can't tell how big the sail is unless I blow a wind on it. I can't tell how much energy it can collect. And that's all your mass is doing. Your mass provides you with a sail to collect the forces, the wind, that is blowing in wherever you happen to be. So, but all of those connect. And they don't connect with this wrong premise. And they don't connect with like a wrong premise like Einstein arguing that, light is twice as bent by gravity. It can't make any sense in, that there's something special about this one particular kind of force that somehow it's affected twice as much by something the other forces aren't affected by at all. It's bad enough that they think light can be bent by another force, but then they're saying it's bent twice as much, which just makes no sense at all. Can't be fit with the rest of the puzzle pieces. And that's what I will eventually show. It's a bad idea on its own, just like Heisenberg is kind of a silly conclusion to jump to. Because we can't see it, we can just make up, invisible man features. Because we're saying you can't see the invisible man, so you can't prove he didn't do it. Well, I don't have to prove he doesn't do it. I can just prove that there's no reason to believe there's invisible men. And there's no reason to jump to the conclusion that because we can't see something happen, that it didn't happen. Alright, something like that. So we'll call that a video. Yeah, keep it shorter. It's not that sweet, but whatever. Anyway, till the next time and such. This has been debatephysics.com or a draftphysics.com video presentation and such. So forth and whatnot. Yeah, that's the button. Alright. Till next time and such.